word. And so please keep your Bible open to Matthew 24, which is our text for this afternoon, the sign of the fig tree. Of course, this passage is in the context of Jesus' discourse or teaching on his second coming, on his return. It goes back to verse 3, chapter 24, verse 3. And here, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And the Lord Jesus gave a whole lot of signs, right? Things that we ought to look out for so that we might know for sure that his coming is near, or his coming is very soon. And I'm sure you're familiar with all these signs, all right, that are given over in this passage. For instance, a sign of false Christianity, a sign of apostasy. "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Do we see this happening a great deal today? Yes, there's a whole lot of falling away from the faith, whole lot of apostasy, false Christs, and false prophets. The mainline denominations, one by one, falling away, dying, dead churches. And recently I read how there is a defection within the Anglican Church, Church of England. A whole lot of Anglicans are leaving the Anglican Church and going where? Going back to the Roman Catholic Church. Right. And the Roman Catholic Church has set up a special department for all these Anglicans returning back to Rome, make them feel very welcome. And this is what we see today, right? A falling away from the faith. And this is not only warned once over here, but we find also in verse 11, Jesus warned a second time. 24 verse 11, "Many false Christs shall rise and shall deceive many." And then one more time, third time, verse 24, "And there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Shall show great signs and wonders. And today we have the signs and wonders movement, the charismatic movement. But they are false signs, counterfeit signs and wonders. And many of those who are leaders in these churches, one day the Lord will say to them, Matthew 7, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name cast out demons, in thy name done many miracles?" And Jesus said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." All these signs, don't we see them happening today? Isn't Jesus coming back very soon? Sure. Now, there's a whole lot of hatred against Christ and his word, his truth today. And we will face persecution, not only from the world, but also those from within the church, wolves in sheep's clothing coming in to destroy and to disturb. We'll see this, aren't we seeing? "And the love of many will grow cold." There'll be a whole lot of hatred for Christ and his word. Do you experience this today? I sense this a great deal. We are in the last days. And then there are also all these economic ecological signs, right? Famines and pestilences, and then earthquakes in diverse places. Talking about earthquakes, March 11th, very powerful 9.0 earthquake that shook Japan and the world. Devastating, right? And you know, today, how many significant earthquakes already this year alone? And increasing, and more and more, you're getting more and more, seeing more and more of these big, significant earthquakes today. You know, it is said that every year there is an average of 17 or 18 big, significant earthquakes, 17, 18, just in a year. But this year, 3 months have already gone, and we're into the first part of the fourth month. We are in April. Already this year, how many significant earthquakes in the world? You go and check the USGS, the United States Geological Survey. They keep up to date, right? The earthquakes that are in the world. And the latest is a total of 24. 24 significant earthquakes this year. March 11 was one, and then recently, April the 7th, right, we had another in Japan. That before that, there was one in Myanmar. And we read this in the papers. Today, already 24 significant earthquakes. And all these earthquakes occur near city centers, populated areas, with a lot of destruction of life and property. Some people say, oh, all these earthquakes have been happening throughout the centuries. There are many of them. Yes, that may be true. But a lot of earthquakes occur in isolated places, right? God being merciful in the wilderness, in the desert, in non-populated areas. But today you find increasing number of earthquakes in what? In city centers. Remember Haiti? Whole city collapsed. One big earthquake. Smack right in the middle. Now, all these are found in populated city centers or near city centers with mass destruction. You think all this is by chance? No, the Lord is speaking. And earthquakes in the light of Scripture are always God's words of judgment. And God is saying very loud and clear, judgment is coming. Repent quickly, or else you will be destroyed. So earthquakes in diverse places, we are seeing a whole lot of this today, and already, right, this month, 24 significant earthquakes, past the national or annual average, right, past the annual average already. And how many more months to go? 8-9 more months to go. How many more earthquakes will we see? Is this not another sign of Christ's soon return? Jesus is coming back very soon, and there are also many other signs, the evangelistic sign, for instance, and then this sign, the sign of the fig tree, right? The sign of the fig tree. So here, what is this fig tree? It's a parable. Learn the parable of the fig tree. So what does the fig tree represent? And I submit to you here that the fig tree here refers to the nation of Israel, right? To Israel. How do we know this? Right? You look at Luke 13, verse 7. In the context of the scriptures, the fig tree has been used to refer to Israel. Right? You look at Luke 13. Look at what Jesus said and how he described the nation of Israel in his day. Look at Luke 13, verse 7. Now in Luke 13, verse 7, it says here, then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. Jesus is now, all right, in the third year of his public ministry, has been going around preaching the gospel of the kingdom, looking for faith and fruit from the nation of Israel, his chosen nation. 3 years. I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, namely Israel, okay? Israel, the Jews. And find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? So judgment is coming. And Jesus gives the warning here to the nation of Israel. So here, the fig tree here points to Israel, right? The fig tree is used with reference to Israel. And here Jesus in Matthew 24 says, right, learn a parable of the fig tree, learn a parable from the nation of Israel. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So the fig tree is a tree that, all right, starts to be tender in its branches, and then with the branches full of moisture and water, it will sprout leaves, put forth leaves. And then when you see, all right, the fig tree putting forth leaves, lively, okay, and the fig tree will do this at the end of spring. And when you know that, all right, this has happened, summer is just round the corner. Summer is nigh. So what is this trying to say? Jesus is trying to tell the people, when you see the fig tree, namely the nation of Israel, now firmly rooted, planted in the land, is lively, all right, putting forth leaves, you know, all right, summer is near. You know, my coming is near. That's in answer to the question of verse 3. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Well, look for this. Many signs I've given. I give you one more, the sign of the fig tree. Look at Israel. And Israel is a prophetic nation. A lot of prophecies with regard to nation. And if you understand the prophecies in the scriptures with regard to the nation of Israel, you will also be able to discern the nearness of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So take note. In verse 33 says, so likewise, when ye shall see all these things. So what are all these things here? Well, all these things will be all the signs that Jesus had given, right? From verse 4 onwards until this point. All the signs, okay? Including the sign of Israel. When you see all these things happening, and today we see all these things happening, all right, in the world today, in this period, you know that summer is near. You know that my coming is near. And Jesus said here, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. That means right at your doorstep, about to what? Jesus about to enter. It's the 11th hour. The midnight hour will strike. And what time is it now? Considering the signs of the times, what is happening in the world right now, in the light of what Jesus had indicated and warned us to watch out for, I think the time is 11:55. All right? Already, the 12th hour, the midnight call is about to happen. And we better be ready. We better be ready. And then here we are told. Verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass, all right, till all these things be fulfilled. Now, what does this mean? Jesus says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. There are two views. The first view says that this generation refers to the generation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In those days, all right, that Jesus and the apostles lived in, and Jesus died in AD 30, rose in AD 30, and soon we will be commemorating the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, all right? And that happened 2,000 years ago, AD 30. And then when was Jerusalem destroyed? Now, Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70 when the Roman general Titus came, surrounded the city, all right, destroyed Jerusalem. The walls were broken down, templed, all right, razed. And then many of the Jews were, of course, killed. And those who survived fled, right, fled to all four corners of the earth. AD 70. So from AD 30 to AD 70, 40 years. That is, they say, one generation is 40 years. So there are those who interpret this to mean Jesus was referring to, right, that generation, contemporaneous generation at that time, all right, 2,000 years ago. Now, we do not think that this is the correct interpretation. And I tell you why, all right? Firstly, Jesus said, before all these things happen, there'll be all these signs. And in those days, we don't see all these signs happening at that time, right? We see it in our day, but in those days, these signs were not all there, you see. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing over here is this. We also do not see when the destruction of Jerusalem came. You see, after this generation, all, verily I say unto you, this generation shall pass through, all these things will be fulfilled. Jesus will come back by then. In AD 70, when Jerusalem was destroyed, did Jesus come back at that time? No, he didn't come back, you see. So, based on these two reasons, the signs not fulfilled, we don't see all these signs happening. For instance, one of the signs that must be fulfilled is the sign of evangelism. The gospel must go into all the world, right? In verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Was the gospel preached to all the nations at that time, in AD 70? Not yet, right? Today we do see this gospel going round the world many times over. But in those days, this was not fulfilled, okay? And when Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70, Jesus did not come at that time. So it's not talking about a time that was then, right? A time that is yet future time. So that's the second view. Those who believe that this generation refers to the generation prior to the return of Christ, right? When the world will end at that time. So, and I believe this is the correct view, right? It talks about the end times, future events that will happen. Those living in the period before the Great Tribulation comes. You know, there's a 7-year Great Tribulation. And then all these things must happen first, all right? And Israel must be planted back in the land. And you see that Israel is now alive and lively. You know that summer is near, that coming is near. So it is talking about a future generation. But even this view doesn't answer all the questions, because there's one question we need to ascertain. We need to answer. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, this generation does not necessarily mean a certain period of time. Some people say 40 years. Some people may have a longer span. Some people say 100 years is one generation. Some people say 25 years is one generation. So I don't think here we can settle on any particular span of time, all right? Whether 25 years, 40 years, or 100 years. So what does this generation mean? We have already ascertained it's not talking about, right, time in the past before Jerusalem was destroyed. It's talking about time in future before Jesus comes back. Okay, but this generation refers to what? Is it referring to time? Or is it referring to a people, a race? And I submit to you here that the generation here, this generation, is referring not to time, but to people. To people. How do we know this? The key is in the context, right? The context. Now look at, we know that this generation, in the light of verse 52, verse 32, right? The parable of the fig tree. This is spoken in the context of the parable of the fig tree. And the fig tree here is the nation of Israel. Okay? So when Jesus here talked about this generation, he was referring to the nation of Israel. It has to do with the nation of Israel. Okay? And also, in the light of the context of Matthew 23, the chapter before, if you turn to Matthew 23, verse 35. At Matthew 23, verse 35. It says here that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Right? Same terminology here. This generation. Now, when he says this generation, he's referring to who, to what? He's referring to the people. This generation, this people who are so unbelieving, right? So rebellious, namely the Jews, who had killed the servants of the Lord, his prophets. And he will require it of this generation, this group of people, namely the Jews, right? The Jews, the nation of Israel. And I'm sure over here, and also we know this from verse 37, he says, he pointed out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So it is specifically referring to the nation of Israel. So this generation does not mean, right, the whole world, the generation comprising, right, the whole world, but this particular group of people, namely the Jewish people, namely the nation of Israel. Okay. And so here, when Jesus said in verse 34, Verily I say unto you, this generation, right, this nation, the Jewish people, the Jewish race, this group of people shall not pass, they will not disappear from the face of the earth, right, till all these things be fulfilled. So what did Jesus mean over here? This generation shall not pass. He is really saying that the nation of Israel will never disappear from off the face of the earth until all the things prophesied and promised to Israel are fulfilled. So this is a wonderful verse of promise. Yes, this generation so unbelieving, so faithless. But God, when he made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, cannot what? Break that promise. Despite the unfaithfulness of Israel, the husband of Israel is always faithful. He will chastise his nation, but he will never forsake his nation. And here, you know, although he had cursed the fig tree, and yet, because of disobedience, yet there is blessing. There will come a time when Israel will be obedient, and there will be a blessing, and God will do this. So learn the parable of the fig tree. The fig tree now is experiencing what? Revival and growth. There will come a time, all right, when this will happen. And this generation, the nation of Israel, will never disappear, all right? Will always be preserved by God until he has fulfilled everything he has promised and prophesied concerning Israel. Now, that's the meaning here, this sense. And you know, when we, I mean, this was spoken about 2,000 years ago. Today, we are 2,000 years removed. And on hindsight, looking at history, do we see God keeping this promise? We do, don't we? Today, is there a nation of Israel? Despite the destruction of the city and the temple in AD 70, and the Jews being scattered into all four corners of the earth, did they lose their ethnic and national and religious identity? They didn't, right? They didn't. They maintained, they kept it. God, you know, in control, God moving them. Although they were a people without a land, because the Lord is chastising them, let his blood be on us and our children. Yes, they have suffered all these years, the Lord chastising them. But the Lord never forsook them. And if you read Isaiah 11, 11, 12, God even said, once I scatter you in the four corners of the earth, one day I will regather you back in the land. Right? In the land. And then when you are gathered back in the land, you will face a lot of opposition. Right? People will try to destroy you, but I will protect you. The surrounding nations, Syria in the north, right, in the east, Jordan in the south, Arabia, Saudi Arabia, and then Egypt. All these nations will go against you, but I will protect you. I will preserve you, and you will be saved. And once you are back planted back in the land, you will no longer be uprooted, right? No longer be displaced. That was God's promise to them. This generation, the nation of Israel, this people, God's chosen, will never disappear from off the face of this earth until all the things that God had promised them and prophesied concerning them are fulfilled. And our God, and you know, with the words of prophecy, with the events of history, and then when we study these two, don't you see that Israel is a miracle nation and the God of this word, this Bible, is true, the living and true God. Jesus is truly the Savior, our Savior, and we have followed the right God, right? The right Savior, believed on the correct religion. And the sign of Israel is truly a miraculous sign. Israel is a miracle nation. And on May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation once again. You know, and a tiny nation, and yet can survive all these years of great persecution and even the World War II genocide when Hitler tried to destroy the Jewish race, and how God protected Israel. You see this? Yes, there is a God in heaven. This God is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our God. And Jesus Christ from the Jewish nation is our Savior. We see this. If Singapore had gone through what Israel went through, do you think there will still be a Singapore today? Do you still think there will be a, you know, do you think there will still be Singaporeans who still keep their national identity? I'm not sure even today we have a national identity. If we had gone through, all right, what Israel went through, our city destroyed, all Singaporeans dispersed in the four corners of the earth, 2,000 years later, will you say, I am still Singaporean? And next year, Singapore, we're going to rebuild the city? No, all of us, I mean, Singapore will disappear from off the face of this earth. No more Singaporeans. We'll all be, you know, be mixed with the population of the earth, and we will not identify ourselves as such. But the nation of Israel, consider the fact, they still call themselves what? Hebrews, Jews. This is our Bible. Jehovah is our God. And this is our land. And they always tell each other before the land was returned to them, next year, Jerusalem. Next year, Jerusalem. And next year came, 1948 came. So the Lord has been preserving this nation. And the Lord says, look, my words are true. Verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, right? But my words shall not pass away. You think this is impossible? It's not impossible with God. Jesus said in verse 34, this generation, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, shall not pass away, shall not disappear till all these things be fulfilled. I've spoken many things about Israel. And no, even if heaven and earth passes away, disappear, not only Israel will not pass away, my words shall not pass away. I will fulfill every last jot and tittle of my words. I will preserve my words for your learning, for your understanding. You will know all the prophecies, all the words of God kept intact throughout the ages, 100% inspired, 100% preserved, so that you may know. And today we have. And if we study the scriptures and we look at Israel, wow, we see the words of God, so true, isn't it? So true. And so, we have the scriptural proof. We have also the historical proof. Israel has been preserved. The words of God also preserved. And they continue. Israel continue to exist as a distinct, right, national, ethnic entity. And the word of God, we still have it in our hands today, kept intact by God, despite attempts to corrupt it right? Yet it has been preserved. So, you know, this, the doctrine of Israel, the sign of the fig tree, and the promise of God's preservation of his own words, I mean, these doctrines give us what? Strength in our spiritual life, don't they? Right? These are, you ask for evidences. Can God show me a sign and I will believe him if he shows me a miraculous sign? Already there are two here. The sign of Israel is a miraculous sign. You can't see that Israel is a miracle nation. You're blind. But you have spiritual eyes, you can see. And the fact that you have the words of God today, every jot and tittle in your hands, reading from it, God's holy, infallible words, that's another. This is a miracle book. And God has miraculously preserved his words. But today, many people don't believe that, sad to say. But these two doctrines, they are powerful signs to tell us our God is true. And we must trust in him, have faith in him, keep on believing in him, and be ready for his soon return. And how Israel is protected. You know, since 1948, it's one long war for Israel. But although Israel is a fledgling and a small nation, yet it is protected. The big buffalo, all right, rich countries around it, all rich countries with all their weapons, want to push Israel into the Mediterranean Sea and are not able to do it. Two big wars, 1967, the Six-Day War. Israel defeated the coalition of Syria, Jordan, all right, Egypt in 6 days. In 6 days. How did they do it? God was with them. 73, the Yom Kippur War, almost defeated, caught by surprise, yet protected. I think any other nation, the whole nation will be taken over. Surprise attack. In 73, on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, everybody was resting, and then the enemies attack. But God preserved them miraculously, and they were delivered. And all the other wars, Israel is still what? Intact. Kept safe. Of course, in preparation for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see all these things happening, know my coming is very, very near. But when we see all these things, all right, there's a warning here. Don't go about predicting dates. Verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, right, but my Father only. So don't go about predicting dates, which year, which month, which day. You will not catch me doing that. Some people, you know, misinterpret scripture and they interpret this generation as 40 years. Remember, in days past, I heard Dr. Chan Kai-lok. Wonder whether you have heard his name. He is professor of entomology. He's an expert in insects, all right? Which insect, I don't know. Insects in general, all right? But he was also a, you know, he studies the scriptures, he studies prophecies, and then when he studied this passage, he says, oh, Jesus is coming back soon. I know when he's coming back. You know, I heard him preach before. He must be a very old man by now. All right? And he says, look, here the fig tree is nation of Israel, and then one generation, Jesus will come. One generation, he says, is 40 years. So Israel became a nation in 1948, one generation is 40 years. When will Jesus come back? 1948 plus 40 will be 1988. Jesus will return. 1988 came. And Jesus did not return. So he's very embarrassed. Right? And he has stopped preaching on prophecy. And after that time, a long period of silence, you don't hear about Dr. Chan Kai-lok anymore. But a few years back, I saw one book that was sold in the local bookstore on the second coming of Christ. Right? It was a name given. The author of that book is called Revelation C. Revelation C. Is it a real name? No, it's a pseudonym. And later I found out it's actually Chan Kai Lok, right? But he dare not use his own name. Revelation C, he calls it. And then he's, well, no, Jesus already warned. Don't predict dates. We don't know exactly, precisely the time. But one thing we do know is, considering the signs of the times, we can know the nearness of it, how near it is. It is possible, could be in our lifetime, right? At any moment. And we must be ready. Are you ready? Are you prepared for Jesus' return? Already things are put in place. The stage is set. The nation of Israel is back in the land. The world is not getting better and better, but from bad to worse. Antichrist will emerge one day, right, to offer world peace and prosperity. Everyone will receive, accept, embrace him, and worship him. He will show his true colors. He is someone energized, inspired by the devil. He will blaspheme against God. He's someone who can speak very well. He's full of charisma. But he will draw people after himself and people will worship him. Christ must come back at the end of the Great Tribulation to fight the war that will end all wars, Battle of Armageddon. We want to be ready. Be ready when Jesus comes back. We'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Are you ready? What are you doing to get ready? I pray all of us will spend time in spiritual activity, reading the scriptures, praying to the Lord, right? Reordering our lives, serving the Lord, build treasures in heaven, not on earth. I'm glad there are many spiritual activities in the church, fellowship meetings, prayer meetings, and Bible study meetings, and all this. Yes, and all the more we should gather as often as we can. And all the more, provoke one another unto love and good works. And all the more, when you see the day, what? Approaching. I see this in this church, which is very good. And then you also hasten the coming of the Lord by going for missions and evangelism. Please continue to do so. We also want to keep up with all these things, preparing for the return of Christ. So that when Christ finally comes and we see him, we will not be ashamed, right? And we want to hear him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are you ready? If not, let us reorder our lives and be ready for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, please grant us thy grace, thy strength to live a holy Christ-like life for thee as we await return of our Savior. Lord, we thank thee for thy great love for us. We pray we might love thee, not this world, but love thy kingdom. And as we prepare, O Lord, for Holy Communion, may you examine our hearts. We want to confess our sins, Lord. And we pray you may forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For all these we do ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To prepare for the